And I'm back. This is Noreen Sumter from Beyond Potential. Live life your way. Do I really need a mic? I mean, my mouth is pretty big. My throat is pretty wide. And so I'm back. So I've been gone for the last... I wonder if you noticed that I was gone. I was gone for the last... Hey, Gabrielle. I was gone for the last... Was it 2.5 weeks? Yeah. Like 2.5 weeks. And I was in London. It was... Absolutely, I can't even begin to tell you how amazing it was. It was a lot of fun. I really enjoyed myself, and I honestly can say that I forgot to say my usual. It's Tuesday. It's Tuesday, and I am back. Hi, Satij. I am back in New York, and I'm back to my favorite time of the week. And can I tell you, quite honestly, when I was in London, I missed nothing. Not a darn thing. I missed nothing. I went to London and I figured, you know, I thought for a while that I was going to do a little bit of work. But I unplugged literally everything. That is one of the first times in a long time that I've actually unplugged and just like did nothing. You know, I gave myself that permission to do that. I slept in, even though I really couldn't sleep, because when it was time to get up, it was time to sleep in New York, and that's when I felt the most tired, and vice versa. But I tell you what, I couldn't complain about the weather. The weather was great. It was sunny. It was bright. It was so bright. I mean, like really, really bright. And it was just beautiful. I took long walks in the woods. I picked about 5 pounds of blackberries. I ran away from fox. There was so many fox. I'm definitely afraid of fox. But the sole purpose, hi, Brett. Hey, Joan. The sole purpose of going to London was to visit my mother, right? Was to celebrate my mother's 90th birthday. It was great. That was really, really great. And like I said before I left, I think the purpose of going to London and having my mother live to 90 years of age is really because I went for the children and I went for my mother. But actually what I went for was my family, was to be in that nuclear family experience, which I had no idea that I was craving that, you know? It's like I've been away so long, and it's not that I'm selfish, but like I'm selfish. So I spent time with the children. It was so fun. So anyway, I got to London. Let me tell you, I flew with Norwegian Air. Norwegian Air. Beautiful planes, gorgeous planes. But when I tell you, it's not budget, because I thought I had gotten a budget flight. But when I got to the airport, I was 5 pounds overweight in my tiny bags. I had to pay $100. Somebody came to the counter while I was paying my $100. He was 3 pounds overweight. He had to pay $100. So fast forward, on the way back, I got a lighter suitcase, and I had less stuff because I left a bunch of stuff with my sister. They had me at 6 pounds overweight. I'm like, are your scales good? And they're like, scales are great. They get, you know, regulated quite frequently. Another $80, right? So all in all, I think I've spent like nearly $1,000 on a flight. That should have been like $600-700. Okay? So what I learned is that those airlines who do budget, They get you either way. And so on this airline, they give you nothing. I mean, literally nothing, unless you ask. They'll give you some water, right? And that's about it. So what I usually do is I have them. And I was lucky because on the way there, I sat next to this really great family, and they gave me their meals, right? So I was lucked out there. They gave me meals. They gave me their drinks and everything because they didn't want it, right? And so I lucked out. And then on the way back, the flight attendant said to me, can I get you something? Are you talking to me? And he was like, yeah. And I says, yeah, but I didn't order anything. I didn't pay for anything. He goes, no, don't worry about it. I'll get you something. So he just got me food. He got me drinks and stuff like that. So shout out to that lovely, lovely flight attendant who was so generous and kind to me, right? Yeah, so London. I hurt my back. You don't want to know. So I hurt my back, you know, like the kids. I'm playing with the kids. The kids are like 5, 6, and 7. So Storm, who's amazing, she's 5. I said to Storm, because they left me in the house. You know, I'm there in the house. So they leave me in the house with the kids, right? So I'm in the house with Storm, and I'm like, hey, do you want to go out? And she goes, no, I don't want to go out with you. Why? She goes, you're boring. She goes, you're going to be really boring. So I said, really, Storm, you think I'm boring? She goes, yeah, I don't want to go out with you. So I said, all right, then you can stay in the house by yourself. She goes, no, I can't, because I'm not allowed to stay in the house by myself. I said, why, are you going to call the cops on me? She's like, no, but I'm not allowed. So I said, then you got to come with me. She goes, no, you're boring. So I'm like, it's either I'm trapped in the house with a 5-year-old and I can't go out because I'm boring. So I said, I'm not boring, right? I said, but let's go out. So I promise I won't be boring. So we go to the park, and so I'm walking up the street. I said, do you want to go to the park? She goes, yeah. You know, swing park, park, kids. We go to the park, and so I'm on one of these, like, little rocking horse things. That was good. That one was good, right? So on this rocking horse thing, she's taking photographs of me, and she's loving it because now I'm not boring. I'm cool, right, because I get on the damn ride. So I had to do, that day, I did, like, 10 different things with her. So I had to come up with things so that she would not think I was boring and that she would have a good time and she wouldn't mope. So we get on the train, we go to the toy store. She said, can I buy a toy? I said, no, there's a rule. Cuddle it, hug it, love it up, and put it on the shelf. So she goes, what? I said, cuddle it, love it up, and put it back on the shelf. You don't need any more toys. So then we go to the bookstore, and she goes, oh, this is a really good book. And I said, oh, I'll buy you books. So I bought her, like, this Paddington book. So now I'm cool, right? So she says, I said, do you want to go to MAC Makeup? She goes, I can do makeup. I'm like, sure. So we go to MAC Makeup. She puts all this makeup on her face. And so she goes, you're really cool. That was fun. So what else are we going to do now? So I had to keep her entertained. You've got to keep these kids, and they forget nothing. So that was, you know, just going there, being, I never wanted children, as I always say, but I do love entertaining them, and I do love, like, listening to them. She's a phenomenal singer, right? I mean, I bought this little karaoke microphone, and this girl made up so many songs, right, which I recorded all of them, and I found myself singing them, Three Little Piggies, and It's the Weekend. It's the weekend is all of mine. That was one of her songs that she made up, right? And so we did that. And it was just phenomenal. Like, you know, hanging out with the kids, and like, then I hurt my back on the stupid park, which we went to. And this Charles ride was, I was way too heavy. So I hurt my back for 3 days, right? And I was like, trying to be 5 years old, you know? I hung out with, that was my phone. Oh, is that your stuff? So I was able to connect with some amazing friends of mine that I haven't seen in close to 40 years. I was able to connect with some boyfriends that I haven't seen in 40 years, like friendships, right? And, you know, listen to their conversations about being married. They've been married for 26 years, 30 years, and I'm just like, how do you do that? I'm only like 21. How can you be married for like so long, right? And it was just great to sort of connect with them. And then I connect with a bunch of girls, because every time I go home, I try to have like a reunion with girls that I went to school with. And it's just so beautiful because they all show up, you know, and my connecting them always allows them to connect with each other, which is just really great. London itself is, you know, I guess I love New York with all its dirt, with all its grime and aggression. I still love New York. I went to London. It was so clean. Subways are so clean. The chairs that you sit on the subway, the seats have fabric and padding so your butt muscles and your butt bones are not being challenged. And it's so clean and the service is so great. And so the first night I got into London, the trains, which they, the overgrounds, the at Beaches, there was a place called Beaches, the wires had come down because of the trees or something, right? So there was no trains out. So I'm like, well, how the hell am I going to get where I'm going? I'm a Londoner, but I'm clueless now. I really have no idea where I'm going, right? Hi, Newton. I saw your aunt. And so I had to go back upstairs. Do you know, in London, when the trains go out, they literally put you in a cab. I couldn't flipping believe it. I couldn't believe it. So I get up there and there's a whole bunch of us. It was a dysfunctional mess because it's a new thing. I can't remember the organization that started it. But if the trains go out, it's the responsibility of the London Transport or whoever, the Southern Rail or whoever, to make sure that their customers get to the next train stop where the train has broken down, right? Where they need to get off or the next stop so they can get trains. So if it's like the next stop is three train stops away, which is far, right? They'll take you there. So I was on the train going to South Norwood, which is the equivalent of, would be like from JFK to Brooklyn, right? And that was the next stop would be like, okay, the next stop would be like, I don't know, say Clinton Hill or something. They literally got a taxi van, hoarded us in there, got us all in there, and took us to the next stop. I was shocked. Or you can get in a regular black taxi, right, and pay the fare and send in the stub to the, you know, London Transport or whoever, and they'll send you your cash back. Can you imagine? I mean, it was chaotic, but I couldn't believe it. I just couldn't believe that they didn't just leave us to fend for ourselves. They literally took us to where we needed to go. It was just amazing. Hello, John. So anyway, we're going to take a break and we'll be right back.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network. Are you stuck in a rut? Negative thoughts, feelings, and conversations got you down? Hi, I'm Noreen Sumter, the Potentiator. Tune in every Tuesday at 9 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time and listen for new ideas on my show, Beyond Potential, Live Life Your Way, on talkradio.nyc.
Are you a conscious co-creator? Are you on a quest to raise your vibration and your consciousness? I'm Sam Liebowitz, your conscious consultant, and on my show, The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, we will touch upon all these topics and more. Listen live at our new time on Thursdays at 12 noon Eastern Time. That's The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, Thursdays, 12 noon on talkradio.nyc.
Talking Alternative Radio, 24 hours a day.
So we're back on Beyond Potential, Live Life Your Way, and it's Noreen, it's me, I'm back. I'm so happy to be back. It's no joke, I love New York. I really do. Now, compare and contrasting, not saying that one is better over the other, because it's just different, right? And so, you know, in London, you get on the subway, even though they've got these funny memes that are running around on the internet, you get on the subway and it's dead quiet. It's like people are not talking. They're not talking. People just sit there and they kind of look at each other out the corner of their eyes, and but they don't talk, right? And in New York, it's the absolute opposite. People are talking. People are actively engaged in either their phones or talking to the next person. But like, we're alive. There's like an energy that we all emit. We're actually alive. And that, to me, is really sexy. You know, that's what makes New York, New York. We smell. We stink. We really rank, right? We do. Because you get on the subway, you like, you know you home. You know you're home back in New York City because it's got that New York City funk, right? It's like, it smells. London has no smell. Like, it has its smell, but it's not smelly. They have air. Why? How come they have air conditioning in the subway and we don't, right? They have air conditioning in the subway, right? There's also, I think people are a lot more, like, a lot kinder in New York than they are. New York is just kind. I mean, we have our stuff, but we're kind. It's just different. Everything is just different. Not better, not worse, just different. Also, in London, I was reading quite a bit about, you know, the bicycle thing. We have a lot of bicycle accidents happening here. And another person died again in Brooklyn this week. And it's only Wednesday, right? Yeah, somebody got crushed. And a biker. And in New York, this doctor got killed by a taxi and a van. And the taxi door, I think it was either van door or the taxi door opened. And she flipped over and the van crushed her. And they were going to prosecute, because they do prosecute, right? Because it says negligence, you're not looking out for the bicycle rider. I've been there. I could have been a sausage, right? And so they were going to prosecute, I think it was the van driver. Both of them, but the van driver. I'm sure this guy must have been so shocked. He actually died in his sleep. He died in his sleep. So... But they're doing things about it. They're making laws and things about, you know, riding and biking on the streets. I don't know what we're doing here. I don't know. So there's just, you know, I got the sense of at home that the people matter, right? And I'm not saying that we don't matter, but their people really matter, you know? Here, there's a lot of lobbying and a lot of discussion and a lot of something going on before we actually float up to the top of the cream, you know what I mean, become a part of that whole thing. But in England, it's kind of like the people first. Now, as I always preface things like this, England has 60 million people, right? New York, I don't know how many people we have in New York, but, and what? 8 to 9 million just in New York itself. England has 60 million individuals. One law, 60 million people. New York, America, I always think of America. New York is America, just because I just love it. But America has 300X million people, right? And we're now 400 million. So, and 400 million, 50 states, 50 different laws, possibly. So it's not as easy to have America operate the way England does. So if they make a law in England for London, it's a law for the land. It's not just a law for London. And if they make or Wales or, you know, Scotland or Ireland or whatever, it's just one law, Great Britain. And if they make a law here, it might just be the law for New York, right? So I always have to take that into consideration when I think about services, laws, all that kind of stuff. We're a different country. We're Europe inside of America, you know? So I don't want to be, I will never be that hard on England. So they did a lot. I went to a lot of events where they celebrated the West Indian Day, Jamaica independence, which Jamaica was 57 years old. It's got its first, It's got its independence in 1957. And so I went to a lot of events there, and I met up with a really good friend of mine, and I was so excited to see him. And he's doing really well. And I love it when I see old friends who are doing really well. So he's really well. And I went to, I also went to the Red Rooster. We have Red Rooster Harlem, and I went to Red Rooster in where was it? Shoreditch. In Shoreditch, and there's no comparison. Again, it's different, right? Not bad, not good, just very different. I can't say the food sucked. Mine didn't, my friends did, and they sent it back. And you know, because it's a new restaurant, they want to make sure that everything is up. They were like, do you need something else? Do you want something else? No. They're like, no, we're fine. You sure? You sure? You can ask anytime. I'm like, no, we're fine. But you know, I welcome their intensity to make things right. Oh God, the parks were just fabulous. The parks, oh my God. Just so amazing, just so big, just so, so beautiful. The forest, going to the forest was really great. One of the things that hey Chef Life, one of the best West Indian chefs that I know in the city. He's really good, Chef Life. You should put your information on up online, Kemi. One of the things that I love to do when I go to London, Tesco's. Tesco's, what the hell is Tesco's? Tesco's is a supermarket. And Tesco's is a supermarket much like, I would say, the equivalent to like your Whole Foods, but it's your common, ordinary, everyday supermarket, but it's fantastic. Like it's clean and it's fresh and they stock the shelves every night and it's 24 hours and there's soup. Even though they're like, I hate to say, as much as I love them, they're still kind of like a parasite, right? And I say that to say that Tesco's in every community kills off the small business. As much as I love Tesco's and I love Sainsbury's, that's the other one, they are located in small communities or in the communities, and they supply everything. So you can get every kind of food, the Indian, you can get Indian, you can get West Indian, you can get African, every kind of food that you could possibly want, you know, as well as just general food. They cater to everyone. So what it does is it kills off the small business, which is kind of sad. But I love Tesco's, and I love going to Tesco's late at night and buying steak and cream and cheese. They have so much cheese. Oh my God. I ate cheese every single day. I love cheese. Stilton and, oh my God, and mozzarella and cheddar and the cheese is cost effective. It's like good quality cheese that's not really expensive. Again, like I said, they take care of the people. You can get, like, they have specials like 3 Angus steaks for like £10. 3 Angus, I love steak. I don't know about anybody else, but I'm sorry, I'm a meat eater. I was a vegetarian for 3 years and I was huge. And my friend said to me, why are you so big? And you're a vegetarian. And my answer to that was, have you not seen a cow? cheese. Oh God, it was so great. I had a really good time. And you know, it's like having a really good time with my sister. I love my sister. My sister and I, we get on so well and we're so stupid together. It's so funny. I mean, we'll be driving in the car and we'll see something funny and we'll just laugh and we'll wear it out to the end, right? So we have a friend who's a singer, Errol Nicholson, shout out. He always watches the show. And funny enough, a lot of my friends actually watched the show, right? My friend Anne-Marie was like, we're really proud of you. It's a really good show. We love it. And, you know, and I was just like, wow, they listen to me and they're across the ocean. So they kind of have to do the download, but they do it, which is nice, you know? But anyway, Errol, he's a singer and he's sung with, he's a background guy. So this guy's story is like, we grew up together and he occurred a little slow, right? no disrespect. And so he went to a special school. But while going to the special school, he learned every single instrument there is to learn, right? He learned to just, you know, play every single instrument. And so, hi, thank you, honey. And so with that, he has sung and played instruments for people such as Sting and all the reggae people and, you know, lots and lots of different people throughout his life. And so he has this one song that he does every time you kind of like there's a family function or whatever. And it's called something about a bucket. So me and my sister, oh my God, we sing, we don't know the words. We just make up the words as we go along. But we sing this song every single, I sung this song every single day when I was my sister. She would wake up humming this song, like, and as soon as she starts humming, I wake up and I hear her sing that song. Next minute I know it's in my head. Next minute I know we're just going through the day in the car, singing this song and just laughing. Right. And this morning, what did I do? I woke up and she sent me that she pulled it down, the original version, which was created, I think, in the 50s. And then the version with our friend Errol singing it. So she sent me that this morning. So now, of course, what have I been doing? Singing the song all day in my mind. But we connected. I connected with a friend of mine, Michael Greenland, who has been in my life since I've known him all my life. And it was just great. I mean, it's so, like, it's good to just completely, I've never done this, I don't think I've ever done it, completely shut down, just completely check out of life and just be in my life. And when I say check out of life, I mean check out doing work, checking business emails. I might check them once or twice or whatever, but really going, oh, my clients don't actually need to talk to me today. We can reschedule when we get back. And plus, which was really good about it, because my internet was kind of funky. So it was just really good to just shut down. And that's one of the things I recommend to people now. It's just like turn off, shut down, check out, and go do you. So on that note, we'll be right back.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.
Do you love or are you intrigued about New York City and its neighborhoods? I'm Jeff Goodman, host of Rediscovering New York, a weekly show that showcases New York's history and its extraordinary neighborhoods. Every Tuesday live at 7 p.m., we focus on a particular neighborhood and explore its history, its vibe, its feel, and its energy. Tune in live every Tuesday at 7 p.m. on talkradio.nyc.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network. Are you stuck in a rut? Negative thoughts, feelings, and conversations got you down? Hi, I'm Noreen Sumter, the Potentiator. Tune in every Tuesday at 9 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time and listen for new ideas on my show, Beyond Potential, Live Life Your Way, on talkradio.nyc.
Talking Alternative Radio, 24 hours a day.
So we're back from on Beyond Potential, Live Life Your Way. And so I just want to say this. So Beyond Potential, why did I name this show? Because I believe that we can all go beyond our potential and we can all live inside of our potential. And it's for the ordinary person that lives an extraordinary life and is willing to just go out and do what they want to do, right? And so that's why I have this show. And what I discovered for myself is that I need to go away more. I need to travel more. There was a time where I went away for four, four times per year. And it wasn't like I had to have like a boatload of cash or like I had to, you know, stay in the finest hotels, even though I did stay in some really great hotels. You know, I could stay. I was talking to a girl on the train and she was saying, do you know a lot of people? And I was like, yeah, I know a lot of people. She said, do you travel a lot? And I said, not anymore. She said, why? And I said, I just don't, you know? And what I sort of had to think about that. Why don't I travel? Because I created a business that had me like a ball and chain, right? I've got this meeting I got to go to, and I got to go to that meeting, and I got this event to run, and this and that and the other. And I'm like, what the fuck? That is not what I had have my life for, right? There was, like I said, there was a time where I would travel four times a year. I like split it into quarters, and I would just get on a plane and go, right? And I know lots of people, tons of people, people in South Africa, people in Barbados, people in Bermuda, people in St. Thomas, people all over the place, Europe, France, Belgium, Germany, you name it. So many different places that I have friends who like, Noreen, come. And I'm like, yeah, one day. Yeah, one day. Right? And I don't do it. Why? Because I made myself a prisoner to a business. That is my discovery in going away to London and really disconnected. And like, I'm really reinventing myself and my life in the sense that I'm only going to, I do now, but consciously, I'm only going to do the things I enjoy doing, right? Which is, I love being on the radio. I love interviewing people. I love doing my coaching. I love doing like events and things like that. I love, you know, talking on the internet and all that kind of stuff and working with people. And I created my business when I actually started doing it to have the freedom to go and coach in other countries. I could just set up shop in another country. And I used to do this. I'd be gone for 4 months at a pop. And so I come back here and I'm just like, oh my God, I have been a slave to the rhythm. Not the good rhythm, not the one that Grace Jones wrote about. But a slave to the rhythm of work. I'm not doing this. And you know what? Like sometimes in life, there's a blessing, right? And I didn't realize what a blessing I'd gotten when I disconnected from Nabo. Such a blessing, right? Just do the things that I want to do, build it and let it go. I don't have to stay stuck. And what, you know, I'm here to live my life and live it fully. And like have fun and laugh and sing silly songs and laugh with my sister and play with the kids and ride on stupid rides and find ways to make them happy and, you know, not be bored. You know, engage them in what they like to do. They like to draw and paint. And if they want me to turn on my phone 1,000 times to look at some stupid, what I consider a stupid little thing, but it's important to them so that they can draw it. And or if they want to go to the park and run around and do whatever, those things are like creating memories. That's what it's all about. I'm like realizing, like, you know, I've been missing out on all of those really good things, like creating memories, engaging in fun and having a good time with family. You know, like even though my mother is laying in that hospital bed and she can't do much, right? I think I saw glimmers of smiles. Like on her face as she was at her party. We saw glimmers, like, you know, whether we are making it up or it was for real, the fact that we were all together at this party, sharing family, laughing, pulling stuff together, setting up, you know, I'm like just setting up the table real quickly. They're like, no, making it really pretty and special. And I just fall in line and make it pretty and special, you know, planning things. That, yes, my mother, she can't engage and we have to feed her, but it's not about that. It's about family. It's about the children. It's about coming together, sharing stories about her. I mean, I learned some stuff. You know, it's so funny because like what I got was there's 7 of us in my immediate family, right? And we all remember things about my mother differently. Like things that they remember, I don't remember that. So it's like a new story for me. So it was just really great to like spend that time. Was it hello? Can you say that? Oh, I don't know what that means. Oh, can I say that on the air? Like, was it a curse word? yes, I can, damn it. But like, just, it's all about family. It's all about creating memories. You know, I don't have a lot of family here. I don't have family here, period, really. Oh, yes, I do. Tell a lie. But I don't really know them, right? I met them at my aunt's funeral, but I don't really know them. But there's nothing like your immediate family. Like, you might not like each other all the time, but at the end of the day, we love each other. And that, to me, is really, really important. And going away and being with my mother and my sister and realizing how much I love my sister and, like, how miserable she is because, like, she's like, Noreen, take that off the counter. Noreen, put that in the sink. You know, I live by myself. So I take it off the counter when I feel like taking it off the counter. I don't have to take it off the counter right away. You know, her is like, you finished with that spoon? I was like, I don't know. I think I wanted to use it again. No, you don't. Put it in the sink. You know, it's like, Jesus Christ. Right? And then it's like my sister has a fetish for laundry. She has a serious fetish for laundry. Her motto is, she has got a big footprint, right? She's got a big footprint. Well, her motto is, if you wore it once, it's time for it to go in the laundry. I'm like, I wore it once for maybe an hour. Nope, it's dirty. You got to get it in laundry. But she uses the best detergents and stuff because it smells really good. Yeah, so she loves laundering. And so she was saying to her son, her son said to her, Ma, you and Noreen should like live. You and Noreen should live together when you're old. I was like, I can't even imagine that. We'd be laughing all the time, right? We'd probably be making mayhem everywhere. It's hysterical. But it's really, really good. She took me to Tesco's a lot. And I really didn't want to do anything but kind of like go. I went out quite a bit, but I didn't really want to go out a lot. I just wanted to spend time with the kids and, you know, am I getting old? I don't know. But it was great. I had a really, really good time. So, what else am I going to talk about? What else happened in England? Oh, Boris. 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 Oh, our dear Boris. Everybody hates Boris. Yeah. It seems like, I don't know, it seems like everybody has, at the moment, everybody has a similar kind of president. It's like a similar kind of energy running our countries. Because now we have this other guy in Italy who he's doing some fascist stuff. It's like, what's going on? But no, people don't like Boris and they've been making posters. And yeah, I got a really great poster, which I'm going to give away to a friend of mine because she's very political. It's just, I don't know. Yeah. Who, Boris? He just looks messy to me. Like he looks like, you know how a person wears very expensive clothes? You know they went to a really great hair salon to get their hair done, but it just looks messy? That's how he looks to me. I don't even know what his politics around, but I know he does a lot of shaking hands, and I know he's going to a lot of factories and things like that and meeting people, and he's just doing the round, you know? I don't know what his... And he wants to... I think he wants to end Brexit, and he wants to do it right away. I didn't really have any conversations about Brexit. I didn't have any people ask me stupid things about our president, which I couldn't really answer because it's like, you know what I mean? Just the economy. Okay, so they have the lowest unemployment, just like we do. They said that they have the lowest unemployment since the 70s, and. Why is it low? And why are there so many jobs? Because there's a lot of jobs there. So people have retired and they can't afford to live. So, they can't afford to live on their pensions and stuff. So they've all gone back mostly to work. A lot of women have come out of sort of rearing their children. They've gone back to work to sort of make ends meet and stuff like that. But, you know, if I were an alien coming down and looking at England, I would say, oh, it's nice and clean and quaint. They don't look like they have any problems, right? If I were to an alien coming down over New York City, I'd be like, what the hell is going on over here? But The two together, I think the dollar is a little tiny bit weaker than the pound, just a little bit. For like, what did I put? I had 150 pounds. I think I had to pay like 198 or something like that. I don't know. It was 198. It was good. It's not bad. And then it got lower. For £10, I got $8. That's not bad, because it could have been four, right? So, and the prices of things in the store were comparable. It wasn't like, other than things like cheese and stuff like that. Wine and stuff was very inexpensive. Chocolate's inexpensive, which is my chocolate. That's my thing. I have to confess, I ate a big bar of chocolate. It was like this big, right? I bought a massive bar of chocolate at the airport. And I swear to God, I was eating it like my life depended on it. And I was eating it so much that I was like, I had to stop. So I started to sit next. I was sitting next to the guy that I had to pay $100 for his three extra pounds. And he was like, I'm really hungry. And I was like, I got some chocolate. So he's like, oh, no, no, it's okay. No, have some chocolate. And he goes, no, have some chocolate. Like that, right? So he breaks off a piece. And I goes, no, go bigger. You know, but hi, Katie. So I was forcing people to eat my chocolate because I would eat it. You know, I'm diabetic. I'm not supposed to eat that stuff. But no, it's nice. I really, the service people were extremely helpful. The people on the train station were extremely helpful. I mean, literally, the girl at the counter at the train station, she plotted my trip. She literally said, where do you want to go? And I told her, and she like actually plotted it out. Whereas it's just different in New York. Excuse me, I need to go to so-and-so. Just get on that train over there. So you get on the train over there, and what happens? You end up somewhere in hell, right? So, but it was just, I guess, you know, we're grinding. As a woman said it this weekend, I was speaking to somebody on the phone, and she talked about she's thirsty and grinding, and I was like, oh God, right? But we're grinding in New York City. We're really going at it, and I think that because we're going so hard, we have very few opportunities to expand our humanity. And when we do it well. But we're working hard in New York, and we don't have time to give that extra little kind of support that we could possibly do. So anyway, I'm really, really glad to be back. I am grateful for living in New York. And thank you for taking the time out and listening to my... Oh, I'm funny as always. Thanks, Kate. And I'll see you guys next week on Beyond... Ooh, I got one more segment. See? Ooh, I'll be right back.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.
I'm the aptly named host of Tony Martinetti Nonprofit Radio. Big nonprofit ideas for the other 95%. Fundraising, board relations, social media. My guests and I cover everything that small and mid-sized shops struggle with. If you have big dreams and a small budget, you have a home at Tony Martinetti Nonprofit Radio. Fridays, 1 to 2 Eastern at talkingalternative.com.
Are you a conscious co-creator? Are you on a quest to raise your vibration and your consciousness? I'm Sam Liebowitz, your conscious consultant. And on my show, The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, we will touch upon all these topics and more. Listen live at our new time on Thursdays at 12 noon Eastern Time. That's The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, Thursdays, 12 noon on talkradio.nyc.
TalkingAlternative.com.
So we're back on Beyond Potential, Live Life Your Way. See, I was ready to run off the stage, basically, because I thought the time was over, you know? So one of the things that I talked about the food in London, like going to Tesco's and stuff like that. So they have in Tesco's, they have organic and inorganic, right? Just, I guess, organic and regular. But the regular tastes just as good as the organic. The tomato tastes like a tomato. The meat tastes good. Things that are not as highly processed or, you know, one of the things I noticed about our meat here, doesn't matter where you buy it, it just seems like extra red. I don't know if it's dipped in dyes or whatever, or they color it. But the meat there didn't, it was meat. It was meat that I remember growing up with, not extra red, or if I put it in, like if it wasn't highly frozen too. It wasn't like you go to the butcher. They have a butcher in the supermarket and they have the pre-packed stuff. Now, if you go to the butcher, you know, it's one thing. When you go to the, when you pick off the fridge, it's not frozen hard. It's just, you know, regular. Then when you take it home, like I wash my meat, I'm sorry, even though I read an article, I'm not sorry about it. I've been doing it for years. We wash our meat. I'm black. What can I tell you? And you put it in the water. The meat here, when you put it in the water, it turns like a gray color, or it turns out, yeah, like a funny color. It's like funny, right? Whereas there, it seems like all the red comes out, the blood comes out. But where there, it's already drained. It seems like maybe it's cut differently. Just the way they process it is different. But the food was really good. The food tastes really good. The food in the restaurants was really good. You know, England has a reputation of yucky food. No, it wasn't yucky food. And there's variety now. Oh my God, how much fish and chips did I eat? I thought I was going to die. And fish and so much fish. And why did I have so much? I think because I was resisting it. I had fish and chips one night, and I said, my sister took me to good chip shop. That was really good. And they said to me, 15 minutes. I'm like, 15 minutes? I said, why is it going to take so long? They cook it. But it's not like, you know, already there and they're just packing it up. No, they literally fried the fish and they fried the chips and they put it together. I thought it was going to, I said, wow, I've been living in New York too long. I'm really impatient, right? Because, right? And then I had fish and chips in Dulwich. That was really good in Dulwich Village. Dulwich Village is so pretty. I say if I ever move back to England, I have to live in Dulwich Village. It is so pretty. And what else did you ask me about? You asked me about something. Coming back. Culture shock. Shock. One. Like I am exaggerating, but no, I'm not. The funk of it, right? The smell. It's like there's this kind of, I was thinking about that today coming, there's this smell in the subway, which is like the fumes, the diesel, the dirt, the armpit sweat, all of that all mixed into one. It just goes down your throat and it's like, yum, right? So coming back, I decided that I was going to take the train because I found that the train is so much simpler. I'm always spending $40, $50 doing a cab. I did a train this time, right? So coming back on the train, one, the train in London doesn't go, it doesn't make those noises when you're riding along. And I was like, what the hell was that? It was the train creaking. And then I was talking, I looked out and I looked at the bridges and I was like, rust bucket, like really rusty and really like water stained and platforms are a mess and stuff like that. And then I realized what they're talking about when they say our infrastructure, like our bridges, our tunnels, our subway systems. I really saw it. I'd never seen it before like that. Are really in bad shape, right? So you're comparing and contrasting the two. And then I saw like people getting on the train, you know, somebody's having a meal. Somebody's like, got their feet up or they're laying down or just tray stinky, right? Hey, it's, you know, and then the loud talking. Like, it's like England is so quiet. Like, you walk through the streets of London at nighttime and it's so quiet. It's definitely quiet. And then my worries are like, oh my God, are the fox stalking me? That's my worries, right? That's my only worries. I'm always... I swear, I am so terrified of Fox. And I'm always like walking down, and it's super dark. It's not in the streets, it's dark. So I'm always looking, and I'm like, is that a dog? No, it's a fox! Oh my God! Like that. It's a fox. And it's disgusting. And then give me the heebie-jeebies. So people are like, like I said, we're loud and rambunctious. Even just our sitting quietly is loud, which I'm in the ideal city. So on the way back, I'm on the bus. I'm coming back on the bus because I get off at J Street Borough Hall and I jump on the bus and I'm coming down and it's just really loud and I'm hearing how loud it is because at home in England, I can hear my heartbeat going on the bus and it's really loud. And so I'm trying to get off the bus at my stop, right? And I know I'm back in New York because like I've got the little bag, but it's, you know, the bus is all over the place. So I trip over this, like my bag went over this man's foot. And I'm trying to catch my balance so I can actually apologize to him. So this woman who's in one of those electric go-karts. Hey, Tanya. This woman that's in one of those electric go-karts. She says to me, are you just going to run over the man's foot like that? And now I'm like tired. I'm irritated. I said to her, look, why don't you mind your own business? Right. I said, I'm trying to get my bearing so I can apologize to him. I said, he's a human being. I'm not going to just run over him and not say anything. I said, I'm sorry, sir, that I ran over your foot. He goes, it's fine. I said, and you're sitting there in your wheelchair, wielding orders to everyone. Mind your own business. I just kind of went off. Right. I was like, just mind your own business. She sat there and she went like this. You just shut it. And then I just got off there and I was like, welcome to New York, Noah. I was back home in the city. It was, you know. So, yeah, just the difference is, oh, no, but the children are naughty, just as naughty. Children are like running up and down the trains because our trains, very few of the trains or some of the trains don't have those in-between doors. It's just one big long train. And so the kids use it as like a jungle gym. Or like they run back and forth and stuff. So that was kind of shocking for me. Like, manage your children. But the people in London look a lot more prettier than they did when I was growing up. Yeah, the teeth are not as bad. You know, it's funny because when I first came here, I was watching an episode of the Simpsons. And the Simpsons depicted English people as like horsey. We're very horsey. Like, and then really bad teeth, really messed up gammy teeth. No, I didn't see hardly any of that. The children have, you know, like they're working on the children's teeth and people are taking. I did see a few people who had, no, that was this weekend, sorry. No, that was this weekend. I did see this guy with like gammy teeth. No, that this the weekend didn't. So this weekend I went to member Norman from Stormin' Norman. So he had Sunday sermon. It was fantastic. Sunday sermon was twice as big as it was last year. Last year, you could see green space in the park. This year, there was no green space. And so what I did for him last year was collect money. And I got a bucket full of money. This year, I collected two bucketfuls of money. And my thing was going to people and going, thank you. And they'd be like, and then they just put money in. So every time you just say thank you to people, they just automatically put money in. So that was really, really great. That was a really nice event, a nice turnout. So I'm really grateful for that. I wanted to come back for Sunday sermon because I wanted to help him out, and I did, and it was great. But not for nothing, I love New York. I am a poster child. I love New York. I love the people of New York. I love the creativity of New York. I love our openness, our freeness, even the people in the wheelchairs that spout out stuff, you know, which they should they have a right to do that because most wheelchair people have been quietened and now they're getting out and about. It's the same in London. Wheelchair access is really great. You know, it's the London Bridge is really modern. Blackfriars is really modern. Everything is extremely modern. No, we don't do rides. No. But the city is extremely modern. They've really done a number on that city. It's beautiful. And I saw the Jenny Wren. The Jenny Wren was a boat that I went on when I was about 7 in Camden Market. And I swear to God, you'd have thought I was 7 again when I saw the Jenny. I was like, oh my God, it's the Jenny Wren. Right? And the people in the Jenny Wren looked up like that. And it was great. I was just so excited. And I had them going, whoop, whoop. And they were like doing it. It was great. So I'm grateful. I love London. You know, my hope would be that I can live between two cities and live my life my way and go beyond potential and live life your way, my way, so that you can live your life your way. So this is Noreen Sumter signing off. Hey, Gabrielle, love you. Thank you, Tanya. Thank you, Fawn. And I look forward to seeing you guys next week. Have a great rest of the evening. Bye-bye.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network. Are you stuck in a rut? Negative thoughts, feelings, and conversations got you down? Hi, I'm Noreen Sumter, the Potentiator. Tune in every Tuesday at 9 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time and listen for new ideas on my show, Beyond Potential, Live Life Your Way, on talkradio.nyc.
I'm the aptly named host of Tony Martinetti Nonprofit Radio, big nonprofit ideas for the other 95%. Fundraising, board relations, social media. My guests and I cover everything that small and mid-sized shops struggle with. If you have big dreams and a small budget, you have a home at Tony Martinetti Nonprofit Radio. Fridays, 1 to 2 Eastern at talkingalternative.com.
Hey, all you crazy listeners. Looking to boost your business? Why not advertise on Talking Alternative with very reasonable rates? Interested? Simply email at info@talkingalternative.com.
Are you a conscious co-creator? Are you on a quest to raise your vibration and your consciousness? I'm Sam Liebowitz, your conscious consultant, and on my show, The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, we will touch upon all these topics and more. Listen live at our new time on Thursdays at 12 noon Eastern Time. That's The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, Thursdays, 12 noon on talkradio.nyc.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network at www.talkingalternative.com. Now, broadcasting 24 hours a day. Talking Alternative.
Do you love or are you intrigued about New York City and its neighborhoods? I'm Jeff Goodman, host of Rediscovering New York, a weekly show that showcases New York's history and its extraordinary neighborhoods. Every Tuesday live at 7 p.m., we focus on a particular neighborhood and explore its history, its vibe, its feel, and its energy. Tune in live every Tuesday at 7 p.m. on talkradio.nyc.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.